Hello, and thanks for staying tuned. Welcome back to House Factor 91.3 Nigeria. In for Harry Input Harcourt, I'm Dial. It's 9 minutes gone past 5 o'clock. Discussions continue. Right now, we're discussing, well, every matter we'll discuss is a very important one. They're all important issues. But are Nigeria's democratic processes improving? Are they improving? And by democratic processes, I mean everything that has to do with the democratic process, the transition of power, elections, everything that makes up for that, that eases that process, the activities and functions of the Independent National Electoral Commission and how it dispenses of those responsibilities, the voters' registration exercise. And let's not forget also that not just INEC or even government, but even the electorate have a responsibility. Yes, I guess you probably didn't know that, but you do as well. Everyone's got a role to play. Are the electorate, are the citizens playing their role as well, ensuring that they carry out civic responsibilities, ensuring that they shun voter apathy, ensuring that they do the right things at the right time, get the PVC, ensuring that they don't sell their votes also? Because that's critical to the process. You can't sell your vote and then blame somebody for your vote not counting eventually. It doesn't make any sense, as a matter of fact. So, all of this we're going to be exploring in this hour. And you're welcome to join the conversation, by the way, via the usual platforms. We're live on Twitter and Facebook at Nigeria Info PH. WhatsApp on 0809-030-6416. The phone lines very likely will be open later on. But joining me via phone as well for this conversation is INEC's resident electoral commissioner for Rivers State, Oboy Fanga, whom I must mention as well, whose tenure is due to expire. It's coming to an end in just a couple of days' time, July 6th precisely. The tenure of INEC's resident electoral commissioner for River State, Obore Fanga, will come to an end. And he is my guest on the show this evening on Hard Facts for what very likely may be the very last time, at least in the position of INEC's rec for River State. Obore Fanga, Commissioner, Resident Electoral Commissioner, INEC River State, good evening to you. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Good evening, Dale.
Now, I'm not sure I know precisely how this plays out, but your tenure was always going to elapse. The position of a Resident Electoral Commissioner is a tenured one, am I right?
Yes, it is.
So the tenure was always going to elapse at some point. Now, here is where the catch comes, like I said. I don't know exactly what the protocol is, but is a congratulations in order that your tenure is elapsing?
Yes, it is. Well, it depends on who is saying it. So it's a tenure of 5 years from when you are inaugurated. As you know, the appointment is made by the president and sent to the Senate for confirmation, and when the confirmation is made, after then you are now inaugurated. So my batch of resident electoral commissioners were inaugurated on the 7th of July 2017, and so the 6th of July would be our last day as resident electoral commissioner.
All right, so congratulations then on successfully running down your tenure. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Now, a bit about my guest on the show this evening. Oboy Fanga, as you very well may know already, is resident electoral commissioner with INEC. He's been so since July 2017, conducted general elections in River State, supported regional elections in many other states in the country since 2017, as well as observed presidential election in Venezuela. He worked at ActionAid Nigeria for 11 years, including serving as management staff and governance program manager for more than 6 years. Worked as senior program staff in other national NGOs in the country, newspaper columnist in different national newspapers spanning more than 15 years, and editorial board member in New Age newspaper with the National Award as Columnist of the Year and the Nigeria Media Merit Award for 2014. Trained as journalist and lawyer, written many editorial commentaries, essays and poems, and two books as well, Skilled Management, Report Writing, Election Management and Delivery, Non-Governmental Organizations, Strong Community and Social Services Professional with a Master's of Arts in Human Rights from the University of Sussex. I just read out your credentials just now, and I must ask you, what led you to your position at INEC? Is it something you always wanted to do? Did you think that someday you were going to work with INEC or the election regulatory or administration body in the country, or was it just happenstance?
Okay, thanks. Just a little correction when you read the bio. The Nigerian Media Merit Award was won in 2004, presented in 2005, not 2014, as you read out.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you for that. Good.
All right. So, well, truly, I had not really given it a thought that I would be in INEC at some point, but I've always been interested in the electoral process, right from when I was in secondary school, primary school really, because I was rounding off primary school when the 1979 elections were held. So I still have memories of what the issues then were. And then in secondary school, the 1983 general elections, I followed what was happening. I've always been somewhat interested in media work. That's why I ended up first studying mass communication before I went on to study law. And yes, I had never really given it a thought that I could end up being asked to be involved with the electoral management body. So I was just doing the bit of the work I was doing in ActionAid, my last place of work before I came to INEC. And I've been with INEC, with ActionAid for 11 years. And part of what I was doing as governance programs manager was to observe the elections with INEC, with ActionAid, and with the Civil Society Situation Room, which is a collection of civil society groups in the country that work in the area of governance and particularly election and electoral process. So I was on the steering committee of the Civil Society Situation Room representing ActionAid when the opportunity came. I mean, we've observed a lot of elections, and in my media write-ups, I was also doing critique of the processes, making suggestions now and then. I was just that citizen who was passionate about what was happening in governance and making contributions as much as I could by way of suggestions, and of course also criticizing what was going on and making suggestions. And so there I was, and somebody asked me, somebody in the society there called me one day and said if I would be interested in going into INEC as a resident electoral commissioner, because apparently he's been approached to suggest a few persons in the civil society movement who knew a thing or more about the electoral process that could be engaged in it. So I said, okay, I would be interested in doing that. And that was it. I was asked to send my CV. And from that time until when our names were read in the Senate as nominees of Mr. President, I did not have any contact with any other person apart from the civil society person who was asked to make suggestions that he suggested me. And then so they dropped in, and then I took it up.
All right, we'll come back to the job in a moment and how that has gone the last several years. However, you did mention just a while ago that you do have recollections of the 1979 elections in Nigeria. So from then till now, we had a break for a while of military rule, and then in 1999 we returned to democratic rule. And here we are, 2022, the 2023 general elections are just around the corner. Would you say, from your observations, from a recollection from 1979 till now, is Nigeria making progress with our democratic processes?
Okay, so it would really depend on where somebody where somebody's standing from and what somebody's focusing on. So if you look at the elections back then, there was not as much violence as we have it now. But we also know that the 1983 election was there were a lot of irregularities with it, and rigging, and not just rigging in the field, but also in terms of the figures. So we had situations where figures that came out of the election were known, and at some point, even from what the tribunals also observed, there were clear instances where figures were just added. So you just added one in front of a figure that was in the hundreds, and it suddenly became a million plus. So we have those kind of situations. And we have more political parties. We had only five political parties in 1979, and in 83 we had six. But they were, you could tell what each political party stood for, focus of work or a program in terms of if they got into government. There was a political party that talked about free education at all levels. Some others talked about free primary education. Different things. So you can actually say, okay, this is where I stand. I support these political parties because this is where it stands. We had a few instances of people swimming from one political party to another within days, and then people just following them because they were the person they wanted to support. So that happened. But I think with time, with developments around the world, a lot of things have changed, and so the election management body has also got to change with the times and come up with measures to conduct elections in a more credible manner. I mean, if we were to use the same method we use then, a lot of things we won't be able to achieve a lot of things we've achieved now. So, for instance, one of the things that has happened is that we now have an electronic register of voters. So it is more difficult for you to manipulate it. A few days ago, I stumbled upon some documents of a previous election in Nigeria, a membership card that was handwritten, and then a tag for delegates at a World Congress that was handwritten and all that. So a lot has changed, and I think that the changes we've seen also has to do with the level of changes around the world in every other thing. But I think also that governance more and more is becoming like, if somebody wants to get into government via election, they must do virtually anything just to get in there. And so the contest is becoming more intense, and people are adopting all sorts of means to get in there, including physical attack of opponents. And even the supporters are also becoming more passionate, and with various channels of communication, people are using them. Back then, you would only rely on the radio and TV, which was controlled by the state. So whatever you needed to know about elections would actually come from state-controlled media, and then the few newspapers that were around. But now you have multiple channels. In fact, few people even listen to or watch the government-controlled media. Because there are lots of private media houses there, and now with the internet, you can actually create your own news, even if it is fake, and it trends, and a lot of people fall for it. So the issue of fake news also is much more now, more rampant now than they were back in the day.
Well, I did observe that you made a very interesting and even insightful comparative analysis between the processes now, the processes back then, and over time how we've gone from back then to now. But interestingly, I also observed, if you don't mind, that you didn't conclude that the process is better now than then, or that we have made improvements. Do I leave it at that and move on?
Sorry?
I said, even though I observed with keen interest the comparative analysis you made, I observed that you did not conclude that we have made progress with our democratic process now compared to what we had before.
Well, I think we've made improvements, and democracy all over the world has changed in so many ways. One of the things I'm beginning to see now is that with multiple channels of communication, people are able to pick and choose what they want to listen to.
Could you hold that thought, please? I must go for a commercial break now. We'll return shortly with Sir Obor Efanga. To stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the Heart Funk to Nigeria Info here in Port Harcourt. I'm Dio, 29 to go before 6. Major news comes about 6 p.m. However, my conversation with Obo Efanga, the INEC's resident electoral commissioner in River State, still resident electoral commissioner till July 6th, just a couple of days when his tenure runs out. Commissioner, hello, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Dio.
So before the break, you gave an analysis of the electoral process or democratic process in the country, what we had then back since 1979 or thereabouts, and what we have at this time. Let's move on from there on. When I read your bio a while ago, I observed that you've observed the presidential election in Venezuela. You may have observed elections in other countries also, and whether or not that's the case, you must be versed with the electoral process or democratic processes in other parts of the world. Are there peculiarities with the democratic process in Nigeria compared to other countries?
Well, just like Nigeria is different from other countries in terms of, because at the end of the day, it is the human beings that make the difference to any system. So just like Nigerians are different from people from other parts of the world, you also see that reflect in the elections conducted and the entire electoral process. So, for instance, I've seen people, even within Nigeria, it also, you know, you see differences in different locations. There are some places you see election conducted, it becomes like a carnival in that community. Everybody comes and it's a community event. So they participate, they may even bring canopies for people to sit and watch what is going on or wait their turn to be invited to vote. And they finish voting, some of them may. And by the time the votes are counted and the results are known, people just celebrate, front the ones whose candidate didn't win, and that's just with a friendly banter kind of. There are other places that election is like war, so when election is coming, that's when people are making arrangements not to be in town at that time or not to step outside, but be at home because of fear of violence. So, well, to compare the election in Venezuela that I observed and here was that I noticed that most of the polling units were in schools. And so in the school, you know, it's when you line up, get inside the hall, where you have where you vote is actually inside the hall, where just you, the polling officials, and maybe a few other observers see it. That used to be the case in Nigeria until it got to a stage that people now raised doubts about the results that were coming in, and so people thought that when people go inside the cubicle to vote, that they stuffed the ballot boxes. And then we now reached this stage in Nigeria where we said we have the open secret balloting, which means you vote in the secret, you thumbprint in the secret and come and drop your ballot in the open. So the ballot box has to be seen by everyone so that nobody tampers with it and everybody watches what goes in there. But in Venezuela, for instance, what they have is the voting device is a machine, you know, like a computer. So when you come to vote, you actually vote on a machine. You are not given a ballot paper to thumbprint on. But even when you finish voting on that machine, it generates a ballot for you that shows how you voted. You still take that ballot paper and drop in the box there. So that way, at the end of voting, they check what is recorded in the voting device, the machine, and then they also cross-check with what the paper trail is also counted to confirm that there was no manipulation at that point. But I did not see visible indication of violence or a threat to it, at least in the polling units that I observed. So if somebody came to Nigeria and also observed in the polling units where there was no violence, maybe the person would also go back with that impression that the election is generally violence-free. But we know that there are some areas that we tend to have violence. But what is happening now is that if you observe at what point violence usually erupts in elections in Nigeria in the past, I think we are beginning to overcome those challenges that led to the violence, which was at the collision point. Now, with the process where when the result of the polling unit is authenticated, it is uploaded into the result viewing portal, then it means that you have very little to worry about a collision, and so there's little tension there. And the elections we've conducted in the last 2 years, where we use this option here in Nigeria, has also shown that there's been little tension at the collision point and little violence. If there is going to be violence, perhaps we should now be looking at the polling unit.
We have to move things along right now. We are pressed for time. Next question. I asked about peculiarities with the democratic process in Nigeria compared to other countries. Let's come closer home now. Are there any peculiarities with the democratic process in Rivers State, where you have been resident electoral commissioner for about 5 years now, compared to other states or other parts of the country?
Well, I think that there's usually more tension in the elections here in this part of the country. Before I joined INEC, I had observed elections in different locations, mainly in the southern part of the country. And within INEC, apart from being a resident electoral commissioner in Rivers State, where I conducted elections, I've also been part of elections as an election official in other parts of the country. I've been in Anambra, I've been in Ondo, I've been in Ekiti twice, I've been in Kogi. I think those are the places, and I've been in Bayelsa. So there's usually more tension actually in the south part of the country, which I'm part of anyway, compared to the southwest. I think that in the southwest, there's less of a tension. It's more of a celebration. Even if people have concerns about the outcome of the election, it's less likely to result to violence at that point, because people will wait to go to the tribunals and the courts to settle the scores. But the experience I've had with elections in Rivers State was that even from the polling units, there could be tension, and a fight could erupt. If you recall, in 2018, the first election I conducted here was the by-election into Port Harcourt 3 state constituency, and that election was marred by violence of such a nature that we had to suspend the election, and the election was never concluded. but that hardly happens in many other places. So we need to do something. Those of us from the South, we need to do something about our attitude when it comes to election, so that the election is seen as just any normal, like any other normal activity in a democratic setting,
talking
rather
about,
than take it as a do or die.
Talking about doing something, how do we, or what do we need to do, and very briefly, please, to improve the democratic process in Nigeria generally?
Well, there are various stakeholders in the process. So if I speak as, for INEC, then what INEC has done is to improve inequality in terms of the integrity of the process. All the technology that we've brought in is such that it's to improve the integrity of the process. Now, the technology and the advancements we've brought is such that you are unlikely to be able to vote if you're not the registered voter with that identity, because we have found a way of curbing that with the bimodal accreditation. If you're not the owner of that identity, there's no way you're going to be accredited to vote. Now, it's also important for politicians and political parties, political actors, to also see election as a process, where a civil process where the members of the community choose who they want. So they can choose one person or another. They should be allowed to do that freely. And also, we also need to, civil society groups, religious groups, cultural groups also need to talk to people about the attitude towards elections. That's why we've had a lot of campaigns about election, not violence during elections. We need to keep up on that. And then people also need to realize, like I keep saying, when election is held in any constituency, the person that would eventually win or declared winner would be somebody from that constituency. So at the end of the day, we should also look at it that whoever emerges is still one of us. There's no way you are going to conduct election in Rivers State, for instance, and the person that is declared winner is brought from outside to be made the winner of the election there. If you also look at a small community or constituency, whoever emerges is going to be from among those people. And so people should be less aggressive about the electoral process.
I must ask you this before we wrap this up in about a minute. What does the future hold for you?
The future, well, there were things I was doing before I got into INEC. And so if this is the end for it in INEC, then I go back to other things I've been doing. The important thing is that I've always been passionate about governance in Nigeria, the electoral process, due process, rule of law. I will continue to do those things at different levels and in different organizations where I find the opportunity. But I should also mention that my tenure is renewable, so there's a possibility that it could be renewed. But if it's not renewed, then there are 101 other things one could do. I'm also a journalist anyway. I'm a lawyer. So there are a lot of options and combinations of options that exist out there for me.
And that's a wrap. Many thanks for your listening. Thanks for your time as well. My guest, Obori Fanga, INEC resident electoral commissioner for Rivers State, whose tenure elapses in a couple of days, July 6th. Commissioner, thanks for your time and wish you all the very best in your future endeavors, whether in INEC or elsewhere.
Thank you very much.